accomplishing it.
It was. It's done. It's finished. We did it. It's done. The most, the one of the most shocking examples of this kind of statement is in the Sikh of Chafkas 7. The Rebbe says a very amazing thing. That usually our perception of this whole process of trying to bring Mashiach is that that we want it, and the Eibushes are kind of holding out. He's not ready. The Rebbe in the Sikh of Chafkas 7, Toshin Nalav, the Rebbe makes a shocking statement. The Rebbe says that the Eibush is ready. He wants to do it already. So what's the problem? The problem is that the Eibush has set up the world in such a way that this is, he has a partnership with the Jewish people. And therefore he's kind of dependent on them. He created a limited role for himself in this process, and part of it is up to the Jewish people. So God is kivayachal dependent on the Jewish people. He needs them to do something before he could actually do what he's ready for. He's ready for it, he wants it. The gula amitis vashlein. But he needs a little help. What does he need? What is he missing? What does he need from us? What could the Jewish people contribute at this point? Verses is like this. That the Eibush needs that a Jew should want and agree. You have here Tafshin and Aleph Chelik Beis? That a Jew should want and agree and publicize. Proclaim and publicize. That's what it says. As a Yid Zovelin on Maskim Zayin, on Machriz on Mefarsim Zayin. What? What does a Jew have to want, agree, proclaim and publicize? That not only is the Geula coming very soon, but that it's already here. That's what the Eibush needs. That a Jew should want, agree, proclaim and publicize. That not only is the Geula imminent, but it's already here. What's going on? Is it imminent or is it already here? How could it be both? And we're saying that the Eibush is not bringing it until we say it's already here. So is this some kind of game? If he's not bringing it, means it's not here. So why should I say it's already here? If it's already here, then what do you mean I have to say it's already here before he brings it? Just simple logic. I mean, what's the whole statement doesn't follow? The point that I was making is that all of these things, Beis HaMikdash, Kibbutz Galus, eternal life, all of these things are manifestations, are symptoms, are outgrowths of the essential bond between the Jew and the Jew. When we have achieved and established that the Jew and the Jewish, the world and the Jewish are completely connected on all levels, practically, on a practical level, on a deeper spiritual level, and on the essential level, once we have established that bond is there, then all of those other events can follow. So the Rebbe says, what we have to establish is that the bond is already there. The Eibush is telling us that establishing the essential bond between a Jew and through the Jew the entire world with the Eibush, that has already been accomplished. So it's not enough to say that the Geula is imminent, referring to many various upcoming events, upcoming attractions that have yet to take place. It's not enough. You have to want it, which is obviously each. These four things, each one is an avodah on its own. Wanting it is an avodah. Because you see that people are very hesitant about wanting it, right? The Rebbe says you can come to the Rebbe and experience the reality that the chassid, the Rebbe, and the Eibush are all one. But there are many people that are leery about giving up their ego-centered self-image and becoming a God-centered, you know, it's having a God-centered self. As opposed to an ego-centered self, there are a lot of people who are put off by that idea. They find it a little frightening, a little scary. They somehow feel they will be diminished by it. They will lose something if they give up their ego-centered self to experience their oneness with God. So wanting it is an avodah. And then, as the famous Chazal that Rebbe brings in the Maimah, the Yiral of Nisr Maimah, the Yem Ashtayasa Yem, the famous Medrash that there's a king came to town, and he came with all kinds of dukes and nobles and ministers and our people will figure, listen, the king comes to town, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get something out of the king. But what are you, who could approach the king himself? So this one figures, I'll take a minister, this one says, I'll take an officer, the other one says, I'll take a nobleman, I'll take a duke. And it says, Hayesham Pikeach Echad. There was one clever person, he said, he saw everybody's taking ministers, officers, noblemen, and he said, I know Nosef Malka, I'll take the king. So, I mean, if that's a chiddush, that the Hayesham Pikeach Echad, and the Rebbe explains that it's an Indian Aveda, it's an Aveda to want it, you have to work on yourself. To want that reality. I want that to be the real. If I want it, then I'm more open. Once a person has reached the point that that's what he wants, then he knows what he wants. Then he's reached the point where he can already agree that reality already exists, that reality is already fully available to each and every person. Once he got past the hurdle of wanting it, so he could agree to it. Now that he agrees to it, that this is the reality, now he's ready, which is also an avodah. You could want it, and still, you know, to agree, to accept that as your reality, and to actually make the change, you know. There's a lot of things people want, but they kind of want it, you know, without too much effort. They kind of want it, but they still, you know, they're not ready to...
That's not really
to go all the way. The Rebbe says, so you have to want it, then you have to agree to it. You have to accept that as your reality. Once you accept that as your reality, it's not enough. It's not just for you. You have to now be ready to take that reality. And the idea of the Geula is that the whole world should experience that reality. So therefore, it's not enough to experience it. You have to proclaim it. You have to express it. That it's not just that you have it, that you want it and you have it. You have to proclaim it. It's not just enough to proclaim it, you have to publicize it. Get it out there. But what is this helpful? What are we wanting? What are we agreeing to? What are we publicizing? What are we proclaiming? What are we publicizing? That the reality of Guru is already here. That reality already exists, if you want it. If you agree to it. So people come and they say, the Rebbe comes along and the Rebbe says that today every Jew could achieve eternal life.
Where did he say that, by the way?
It's brought in Sikh Tazriya Mitzera Tavshim and Aleph. It's also in a Maimah from Tavshim and Ches, I don't remember which one. And it's mentioned in one or two other places besides it, in passing. So there is like this. Every Jew can achieve eternal life. Through the bittul of a nafshi ka'afal ha'keltiyah, instead of having to die and return to the dust and then be resurrected, through the bittul of a nafshi ka'afal ha'keltiyah, being bottled to all like the dust, a person can achieve, go straight to eternal life. I want to ask you a question. Do you know of anybody that wrote upon to the Rebbe, Anul Eder Rachum Rav Mavur Chaim Yankel Ben Yantel Sprinzer L'Chaim Nitzchia? Did anybody come to the Rebbe and say, Rebbe, oh yeah, everyone can achieve eternal life? Hey, I want that. How do I get it? Nobody. I never heard of anybody. Nobody. Why not? The Rebbe says wanting is also an avoda. We say, oh yeah, who Chaim Nitzchia? It's easy to talk the game. You want it? You really want it? It's available. Everyone says, oh, it's terrible. What do you mean, Gula's already here? People are dying. You want to stop the die? It's available. The Rebbe says you can stop. The suffering, the pressures, we can stop it. You don't have to. It doesn't have to continue. It's up to you. I mean, obviously you can't keep the secret to yourself. You have to let the whole world know about it, but it doesn't have to go on. Good stuff. If you want to experience the reality of being totally bottled today, of just letting go of your ego and being totally God-centered, which is successful, it's available. Anyone can achieve it today. It's not something that you have to scale mountains and do impossible things. It's available. You want it? It's yours. Do you want it? But we don't, the Rebbe has sichas with the Rebbe, there's a whole sichas where the Rebbe is talking about Chaim Nitzvah. So he goes on, says like this. He may, the normal lifespan is 70 years. A person lives as long as 80 years. But the truth is that we're never satisfied with that and we wish each other to 120 years. The Rebbe says, why should we limit wishing each other 120 years when we know that the obviously Yaakov lived 147 years? So it's not enough to live to 120, you should live to 147. He says, no, but 147 years is not enough either. You should live to 180 years. But 180 years is also not enough. A Jew is not supposed to only live 180 years and die. A Jew is supposed to go. So you should wish each other, you shouldn't wish each other 120 years anymore. You should wish each other 147, no, 180, no, eternal life. What's the point of that whole back and forth? What's the point of that sikha? I mean, it's like playing on words. Or what's the point? What's the saying? The saying is that because we're so mired in our finite, little, petty, little world, in order to be able to like set our sights a little further, they must take us like step by step. See, 70 you can handle. 70, that's common. In fact, people say today 70 is relatively young. Okay, it's below average. Okay. 80. You know a lot of 80-year-old people, right? 80. Okay, what about, can you make the leap to 120? Well, okay, it's a leap, but 120. Okay, once you made it to 120, how about 147? Can you handle 147? Think your mind could stretch that far? How about going to 180? Hello, but that's not what, I'm not here to sell you 100. I'm here to sell you eternal life. But the problem is that you, in your own, you have to like, lift up your eyes, you have to like broaden your horizons before you can even think of those terms. So you could, everyone's running around saying, "Who I want gula, I want gula, all the sorrows should go away, all the this should go away." What do you mean you want it? You want to sit back in your rocking chair and the whole world will change around you and you'll you know, and you'll be an observer. That's not what gula is. Gula is very requires active participation. Gula is very interactive. It's not a divinity show. It's very interactive. God, the Rebbe says, God's waiting for you. He says, where are you guys? I'm ready. Where are you guys now? Oh, God, please don't send. What do you mean send them? I sent them to you already. What are you doing about it? I sent them to you already. I sent them to you already. What did you do with it? He offered you. What did he offer you? He offered you eternal life. Did anyone take him up on it? What do you offer? You have to do whatever you want. Who do you want it? He's offering you everything. He says it's all here. It's all here. We say, that doesn't mean it's all here. It means spiritually, it means that the Rebbe sees from a higher reality. Because we don't want it. We want to want. But we're not really doing the wanting. The Rebbe says it's not enough to want to want. You have to want. And wanting means I want that. The Rebbe says eternal life. I want that. I want that to be my reality. That's the reality I want to live. But you, if you're honest with yourself, you sit down and say, you don't really want that, yeah? You want to live forever? Sure. What is it about? What does it cost? How many times do I have to do chitas to live forever? I don't know, you know, like, well, you know, because we're on the outside. We're on the outside. Look at it. We're still used to dealing with the Eivishter from a distance. What do you do with you? What do you do with yourself for infinite years? I don't know. You know what I mean? What am I going to learn forever? I've had enough time keeping it clear. What are you learning forever? Who says I really want this? Oh, Mashiach! Send us Mashiach! Bye, Mashiach! Long live Mashiach! Yay, Mashiach! Just soon. It's not soon. It's here. It's not soon. It's here. If you want it, it's here if you want. Mashiach is here if you want it. Lev Yassin is here if you want it. The Sherebar is here if you want it. The Ayin HaMashum is here if you want it. The Torah of Mashiach is here. It's all here if you want it. It's all here. Open up your eyes and you'll see that it's all here. If you want it. And you agree to it. And then you take it a step further. And you proclaim and you publicize it. It's here. Then, once you come to the recognition that what you've been working for your whole life is accomplished. It's over. You know, it's like the guy who goes to work. He starts out on a career, goes to school for years, and he's going to work on a career. Why? Because he really wants to provide for his wife and his children. He wants to provide for his family. And he wants to really make it one day so he can spend time with his wife and his family and really do the things that he's always dreamed and enjoyed doing. What happens? The guy goes into his career. He gets so involved in his career that the wife and the kids become a nuisance. Don't call me at work. I'm busy. What are you? It's enough. Leave me alone.
That's staying late.
So he's busy with the work. He finally makes it. He has all the money he wants, all the money he needs. And he forgot about what he went into business for. And you offer him, you say, listen, hey, you're making enough money. You can relax now with the wife and kids. Who wants to spend time with the wife and kids? You have to want. So what happens is the guy gets so involved in the process that he loses sight of the goal, to the point that when you tell him that your goal is already achieved, he's not even sure he wants it. He's not even sure. He got so involved in the process that he's not even sure he wants the goal that he set out to do. So the Rebbe is saying that's exactly what's going on now. People got so involved in the process. You come to a guy, you tell him, Mashiach is coming. He says, shh, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to learn. What are you bothering me with Mashiach? You come to the guy, he's telling me, he's calling, he's stopping the street, tell Mashiach, I'm going to daven. I'm going to have to daven when Mashiach comes out. He says, whatever, he comes, let me go daven. The people are so busy with the process, they lost sight of the goal. And that becomes an even bigger tragedy when you've already reached the point where you achieved the goal. It's a tragedy when you're still in the process. But the tragedy is compounded many times over when the goal has already been achieved and no one's home. You have the money, you have the business. Nobody is busy, he's making more. For who? For what? He just got so caught up in the process, he lost sight of the goal. And it'll take some convincing to convince him to leave the business and go home and spend the time with the wife and kids. He needs something to shake him up. He needs something to shake him out of his rut, to shake him up and wake him up and realize what's important in life. That's what there's a lot of people. Yeah, stories. A lot of people get so involved in the business. And God forbid, they had a heart attack. And you meet the person, yeah, this is, you know, the best thing ever happened to me. I got, you know, all of a sudden I stopped. I'm so busy running. I finally stopped and I realized that, hey, where's my life going? I'm not spending no time with the wife and the kids. So who wants to have a heart attack in order to remember what the goal is? Who wants to invite tragedy and disaster in order to remind us of the goal? The goal is already here. So the Rebbe is saying, that all tragedies and disasters are already unnecessary. It's superfluous. A lady was killed in the Crown Heights community in Tashinum Base, and the Rebbe gives a whole lecture. After he gives a whole introduction on what a great spiritual accomplishment Mesiras Nefesh is, to die al Kiddush Hashem. The Rebbe introduces it by telling the whole story with the Beis Yosef, who had this malach, this maggid, that would come to him and speak to him through his own vocal, through his own voice, through his own mouth. And the malach comes and he tells him, and he all his life he prayed that he should have the opportunity to die al Kiddush Hashem. He asked for two things: he should go to Eretz Yisrael and he should die al Kiddush Hashem over there. So one time the Malach comes to him and says, your request was finally granted in the merit of the Mishnayos, that he would sit up, get up in the middle of the night and review throughout the night the Mishnayos in the honor of those, as in the merit of those Mishnayos, you merited to go to Eretz Yisrael and be killed there. I'll kill this. Anyway, one night, through some whatever reason, he was involved in something else, and his regular Seder got canceled. So the Malach comes to him and says, you blew it. By missing this night, you blew the opportunity, you now... you're not going to have a chance to die with Kiddush Hashem. So he says, he was very upset. He comes in, he says to him, you'll still have an opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael, but you won't have the schus to die with Kiddush Hashem. Anyway, he says, then he comes back a while later and he tells him, he says, you should know that not only you have an opportunity to go to Eretz Yisrael, but you have the schus to write a work which will serve the entire Jewish people till Mashiach comes, but the right to die with Kiddush Hashem, you're never going to get back. So in other words, it ever says, comes out, that the schus to die al Kiddush Hashem is much greater than the schus to write a Shulchan Aruch, that is the guiding light for thousands, for millions of Jews in over hundreds and hundreds of years, all those chosim of all the Jews that are learning it and following it and doing it, it all doesn't compare to dying al Kiddush Hashem. So dying al Kiddush Hashem is the ultimate. After the Rebbe gives that whole introduction, the Rebbe says, enough! Dying al Kiddush Hashem. What do you mean enough? If it's the highest possible thing that a person could attain, why is the Rebbe saying it's enough? This is enough! What do you mean, what's the point that it's enough? The point is that dying al Kiddush Hashem was also part of a process. Supposed to lead up to something. It's supposed to lead to a point where you don't need to sacrifice your life to connect to God. It's supposed to lead to the point where your whole being is God. And God's connection to the world is open and revealed, and there's no opposition, and there's no sacrifice, and there's no Mesiras Nefesh anymore. The whole point that I was saying is we've reached a point where we don't need Mesiras Nefesh anymore. We don't need these things. Unfortunately, if we keep ourselves locked into the process and not latch onto the goal, we're still having these things. But the Rebbe says, we don't need them anymore. But in finding them on ourselves, unnecessary. The question is, the person says, what do you mean? So you're putting the whole trip on me? Like, now it's my fault. You're putting on me the whole thing. What do you mean? That the whole thing that the Yidnan goes, that's all on my head? The Rebbe says, yeah, that's what the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said, I did everything I can. And now it's up to you. What does it mean, now it's up to you? I did everything I can means I couldn't finish the job. He says, of course I could finish the job. I finished it. That's the problem. But for the next stage, it's something that you guys have to do. It's not that much. I finished the job. It's something that you guys have to do.
It seems like the whole entire world is so off base. You're saying it's not that much. It's splitting a sea. It's mamish, like getting from...
It's what they used to call in the 60s, letting go, let go and just be. That's it. You don't have to do anything. You have to want it and agree to it. You don't have to do anything.
You got
to
borrow a part.
Let go and just be.
I'll give it to you that you could do it for yourself. But
everyone can do it for themselves.
Okay, but...
And everyone has to publicize and proclaim it for the whole world. And you can get the whole world to do it.
They're listening to you.
They would sure be listening to you a lot better if you were doing it for yourself. You'd be a lot more effective in spreading the message if you had clear for yourself what the message is, which seems to be a problem for many people, just to have a clarity of what is the message. Even now, 5-6 years after the message was, there seems to be a lack of clarity in what the message is. There seems to be forces that are intentionally trying to obscure and obfuscate what the message is. But the message is there. And if you get the message clear, and you take it to heart, and you do your part in proclaiming and publicizing the Rebbe, that's it, it's a done deal.
But it's very hard.
It's hard. The difficulty is all inside yourself. In other words, there's no objective difficulty. It's only a subjective difficulty. An objective difficulty means that it takes a tremendous amount of work, energy, to accomplish something. That's how we define hard, objectively, right? Objectively, everyone would agree to build your own home from scratch is hard. So there are people who could do it better, there are people who could do it worse, who, you know, it'll be easier for some and harder for others, but everyone agrees that it's hard. It's a big job. It's a lot of work. Okay. But here, what we're talking about is, we're talking about a psychic shift. Accepting what they call today in the world, they call accepting new paradigms.
Everyone could
that
have been,
goes, that's in your head. You don't have to do anything.
Everyone could have been a Beinoni since the Tanya, right?
No,
everyone could be.
Everyone technically
could.
One second, but it was a tremendous, tremendous work. It was a tremendous, tremendous work.
All inside.
And that's why, and the Rabbeim themselves said that it's extremely difficult, which is where the expression Halavaya Beinoni came from. The recognition that even though it technically could be done, but it's exceedingly difficult.
How is it any different? It's all inside
me.
Now it's inside me.
Not you. What do you mean a Beinoni is now inside me? A Beinoni is Yegiyas Nefesh and Yegiyas Bus. It's breaking your head and breaking your back and breaking yourself and thinking about God for long stretches of hours and hours at a time. It's a massive undertaking.
And this isn't?
It's not
like it.
Just let go. Let go of your ego. it does not serve you well at this point. That last remnant of instinct of self-preservation is not preserving you anymore, it's killing you. You see, the animal instinct of self-preservation, which is the most primal instinct of the ego, it served a very important function. Because in a world where people live and people die, the instinct of self-preservation is very useful. So even though the problem is that it was an animalistic self-preservation, you have to refine it, and the godly soul is more concerned about being connected to God and therefore is ready to sacrifice itself to go out Kiddush Hashem, to override that instinct of self-preservation. But ultimately, the instinct of self-preservation still had some usefulness in a world where people live and die by their actions. And therefore, an instinct of self-preservation was a healthy thing to have. But today, we're living in a world where the instinct of self-preservation is what's killing you. If you let go of your selfhood as you know it, and accept your true, real self, then you live forever. It's only if you hold on to your old notion of self, your old image of self, that people are still down.
Sounds like abandoning.
No, it's nothing to do with abandoning. Mamish, nothing to do with it. You're talking about a whole different.
Who am I going to be if I let go of myself?
Probably be a tzaddik gamur.
It's hard.
It's a different concept. The concept of the Alter Rebbe is when we said halavaya beinoni means that in order to achieve beinoni status, okay, you are extremely far away from beinoni. And in order to achieve beinoni status, you must do massive amounts of work. Put in thousands of hours of learning Torah, putting in the time, doing the tshuva, learning the Torah, doing the mitzvahs, refining yourself. Paskafia, ashapcha, doing the work. You have to do the work. You have to be in the struggle constantly, nonstop. No, because and that is what it takes to be a beinoni. So therefore, you're talking about a massive, tremendous amount of effort and energy. You are fighting against yourself. Okay, yourself is saying one thing, and you're fighting against yourself to achieve something which is very distant from where you're at. Okay, what we're saying here is that Rebbe is saying you are there already. You're there already. Right now, you're living in a world which is already in a state of being completely one with God, and that is your true inner state. And that fact that that's your true inner state is not something which is hidden and concealed and. It's just something that you're not paying any attention to. It's there. You're ready for it. It's already done for you. You don't have to do it. You don't have to accomplish it. It has been done for you. That essential bond that exists, the bond between you and God on all levels of your existence, including your innermost essence, is already done for you.
Well, why wouldn't you?
All you have to do is get out of the way. That's a whole... That's the reverse of what the Tanya is telling you. That's mamish the exact opposite of the old traditional model of halavaya beinoni. It's mamish the direct opposite of that. You have it all. You're there already. Just get out of the way. Just let go of your old preconceived notions, which are holding you back from where you already are.
And then what? Then you'll do all the mitzvahs 100%, and you'll. And what? I mean, all of a sudden you say, okay, I'm letting go.
Everything that you do, every move you make, will be a direct expression of the fact that you are completely one with God. Then you will be able to do mitzvahs, which are kemitzvahs ritzaynecha, which are truly an expression of God's will, because your will is an extension, an expression of God's will. That's it. Your whole being will be a godly being. And therefore, every movie, everything you do, and any activity you're involved in the world will only be in a godly pursuit. And you'll only see it in terms of it, the opportunity to reveal godliness in that situation. Because that is the nature of the world. That's your perspective. That's your reality. That everything is God. And when you live in the reality that everything is God, so you live in a whole different world than everybody else's. The chiddush of the Rebbe is that everyone's in that world now. Except that nobody is paying attention to what's already here. We're not talking about climbing mountains, achieving. We're not talking about being a high achiever. We're talking about being who and what you already are. and just letting go of all those last vestiges of the career climber, the corporate career climber. Let go. Just that's it. Let it go. It's over. It's finished. That part of your life is history. Now just go. I'm going to be a family man. Enjoy it. Be who you really are. Be what you really want to be. That's what they ever say. Listen, it's not a big work. Stop working. You're working, you're knocking yourself out. Stop knocking yourself out. Stop doing and start being. When a person is busy being, then everything he does is an expression of what he is. Doesn't mean he doesn't do anymore. It's a different kind of doing. It's a doing that expresses who he is. But so that's all based on what the Rebbe said before the first day, before the Nesis even officially started. It's based on that. Are you coming to the Rebbe because you have a backache? Are you coming to the Rebbe because they're foreclosing on your mortgage? Or are you coming to the Rebbe because you want to experience the reality that the Chas of the Rebbe and God are over? It's up to you. What do you want? So it's how you set from day one before, it's how you set up the relationship. What are you coming to the Rebbe for? Are you coming to the Rebbe so he should be your minister? Are you coming to the Rebbe so he should be your officer, your nobleman, your duke, who can intercede, who could get you a few crumbs from the king's palaces? Or are you coming to the Rebbe because I want the king? If a person is coming to the Rebbe because I want the king, that's what you want. You got it. You want it, you got it.
So let's make a guidebook. Step 1, 2, 3, 4. You're there. Step 5. You can't just talk about wanting to be there.
The Rebbe himself says that he sees that people are having a difficult time living with the reality of Gula. The Rebbe says his suggestion is learning, immersing oneself in the topics of Mashiach Geula, because Torah has the power to change a person's very being, to change who you are. And since Torah has the power to change who you are, so by learning the Torah, learning Yom Mashiach Geula is not only a segula to bring about the revelation of Mashiach and Geula, but that the immersing yourself in Mashiach Geula is part of the process of transforming yourself so that you could live with the reality of Geula. Making that transformation, the Rebbe says clearly, he's talking about a transformation, a shinui hamahos, a transformation, transforming who and what you are. But even the secular world has come to realize that transformation is not about doing. Transformation is about being. About letting go of all the things that hold you back from being who and what you really are. The whole world recognizes that. That the problem is that everybody's in the rat race and busy running, rushing, coming, going, trying, if they want something, they're trying to figure out how to buy it or do it or make it. And therefore they miss out on all the things that they are and they could have and be by letting go of that whole system, that whole old antiquated system of chasing things, of pursuing things, and coming to the realization, recognition, appreciation of what you have. And if they say that, and this is it's out there in the secular world, the same exact concept. Lahavda. Because it's totally secular and self-centered. But they say that once you come to the realization of what you have, then the things that you want will come to you. You don't have to pursue them. They'll come to you. You have to work. you have to do. But if your doing is an expression of who you really are, if you're really in touch with who and what you really are, with your inner self, and your doing expresses that inner self, then the things that you want will come to you. You don't have to go to them. That's what the Rebbe is telling us. The Rebbe is telling us that the Rebbe is talking about God's reality. The Rebbe is not talking about another. I mean, the secular world mirrors these concepts in terms of its reality. But the fact is that this is what the Rebbe says in the divine reality. What are you looking for? What do you really want? If you really want to experience that oneness with God, then stop chasing it. And look at the Rebbe and look inside yourself and you'll see that it's already there. You just have to let go of all the other things that are distracting you from who and what you really are. And once you're in touch with who and what you really are, then you're going to do all the things that express who and what you really are, and which will make that who and what you really are, and who and what the world really is, and who and what everyone else really is, will be fully revealed. And who and what the Rebbe, Melech HaMashiach, really is, will be fully revealed in the world, and hopefully take it from Yad Mamash.
Amen. Amen.